Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, June 4th, 2025. We begin our reading on the front page, top of the fold, from the Ford County Public Health Department. Offer accepted. Board of Health signs off on sale of former senior program site. Paxton. The Ford County Public Health Department Board approved a resolution Tuesday afternoon to accept Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services offer to buy the Health Department's former Senior Programs Building in Paxton for $120,000. GAHS Chief Executive Officer Rob Schmidt said he would have no comment on the hospital's plan for the building until the sale is finalized, which will not happen until the county board signs off on a similar resolution of its own during its June 9th meeting. The one-story brick office building at 650 East State Street has been vacant since last December when the health department consolidated its operations into a single site across town at 1500 West Ottawa Road. The health department's former main office at 235 North Taft Street remains vacant too, as its owner, the Ford County Public Buildings Commission, considers its potential sale as well. We're glad that the State Street building is not going to sit empty, that it's going to be put to a good use, said the Board of Health's president, Mike Short of Rural Paxton, following the unanimous vote on Tuesday. We know that whatever the hospital decides to do with the building, it will be a benefit for the community. We were really pleased that we were able to find a buyer as quickly as we were. Short said the Board of Health in April authorized him to list the East State Street building for sale with a real estate agent, Rex Roy, of Remax Realty, and to accept a reasonable offer similar to its appraised value of $110,000. Short said the hospital soon offered $120,000 for the building, which is located just north and west of the hospital's Paxton Community and Wellness Center at 711 East Pell Street. That was the only offer we had, Short said. I don't know exactly how it transpired, but Rex was given a couple of phone numbers of people he might contact, and I think when he contacted the hospital, he had a walkthrough with Rob Schmidt a few days later. And at the hospital's board meeting, they approved going ahead and making an offer to us for the building. While the health department owns the building, Short said the county board's approval of the sale was recommended as well by title insurance policy underwriters due to the ambiguity in state statutes on who should sign off on it. The county board is scheduled to meet at 6 p.m. Monday, June 9th, in the boardroom in the basement of the sheriff's office and jail in Paxton. The health department's move last December to a rented building on Ottawa Road left both the State Street and Taft Street buildings vacant. The new 3,000-square-foot office building, which previously contained Vaughn Family Chiropractic, is being rented from Ford County Properties, LLC, a corporation co-owned by legendary retired monster truck driver Tom Meents of Paxton. Also on the front page of the Ford County Chronicle from Gibson City, Jan Hall carries on her family's legacy of service. Even after giving up her city clerk job, she continues to help town. Gibson City. While no longer serving as city clerk, Jan Hall will continue to be a familiar face at City Hall. Until they lock me out, I will be there, she joked. At the City Council's May 27th meeting, Hall's last as city clerk, she accepted the volunteer positions of appointed city advisor and deputy city clerk. I am keeping my desk, my keys, my email, Hall said, but I am a volunteer now, meaning no more deadlines and meetings I have to attend. Hall's 16 years of service to Gibson City government has spanned parts of 5 decades, starting in 1989 when she was appointed to a seat on the city's Zoning Board of Appeals and began her first term as city clerk. After her initial stint as city clerk from 1989 to 1997, Hall was elected to the the first of her terms as Ward 2 Alderman, serving on the City Council from 1997 to 2000, and again for two more terms starting in 2011, before returning to her role as City Clerk. Paul always wanted to help her community thrive and play a part in doing so. Paul spent her childhood watching her parents, who owned Jordan Furniture downtown, devote their lives in service to their community and local government. Gibson City has been impressed upon me since I was 5 years old, Hall said. It's the way I grew up, to serve the community. Long before she did, Hall's father, Lowell Jordan, served as a Ward 2 alderman and member of the Zoning Board of Appeals starting in 1961. He served as mayor for 11 years starting in 1977, too. Hall's mother, Nelda Stouffer Jordan, served in local government as well, as she was first elected to the City Council in 1993, then went on to serve as mayor from 1995 to 1999, before being elected to terms as a Ward 2 alderman in 2007, 2011, and 2015. The main book read in our house is the City Code, Hall joked in her written contribution to the city's recently published strategic plan. Her parents kept her well informed of city happenings. Our family went to all the meetings, and I lived my life listening to everything going on at City Hall. We talked shop and community. My dad was so dedicated. If there was a choice between a meeting and a birthday party, we had to hurry up and eat our cake. Hall said she remembers fondly the activities her family organized on behalf of the city, especially the annual Labor Fest celebration in the North Park, a three-day festival started in the 1980s that continued for a decade. We had a whole group who would put it on. My mom and dad, Debbie and Gary McCullough, my husband and I, Hall said. We had bands, a tractor pull, a kiddie tractor pull, dances, a car show, and kids' contests like who had the most freckles or the longest ponytail. It was 3 days packed with events, free except for the dances. There was no alcohol, no fees. It was funded by sponsorships. Lots of community groups would have booths on the honor system and sell food or snack. Hall's family has roots in the Gibson City area dating back to before its founding. Her ancestors, Andrew and Amanda Jordan, were some of the first settlers in the area in 1851, establishing a homestead just a little over a mile southeast of town, still family-owned. I recall a story that he had a brick factory and donated the bricks to build the original Christian church in Gibson City, Hall said. Hall recalled that she took over the city clerk position under then-Mayor Karen Rhodes after Margaret Anderson retired as clerk. Margaret did everything, and all by hand, Hall said. Before computers, there were pen and paper ledgers, and she worked her tail off. At that time, the city clerk was an appointed position, the same as we have now, Hall noted, rather than elected. Hall said appointing a city clerk allows the city to interview and find a person who has the knowledge and can handle the job. Hall said the clerk no longer has to handle all of the administrative tasks at City Hall, with the added benefit of automation to handle the paperwork. Well, I don't get paid a lot, Hall said. I have made no more than $2,500 a year since 1989. While now in a volunteer role, Hall continues to do the job she does best, answer questions and share her vast depth of institutional and community knowledge. If there is a question about Gibson City government affairs, she knows the answer or how to find it. I will go down in the archive vault and study the minutes and ordinances from the 60s and 70s to get an answer sometimes, Hall said. Hall said her professional career working for municipal engineers and private attorneys gave her valuable skills that she has applied to her city role. Working with lawyers has taught me how important it is to pay attention to the details, Hall said. You have to understand the language. I read every word of every ordinance. There are so many things people don't notice if they don't read carefully. Her advice to someone aspiring to help Gibson City thrive? Volunteer. If you want Gibson City to be a good place to raise a family, roll up your sleeves and get to work, Hall said. Care enough to volunteer. Be dependable. Have the dedication to do the job. We need people who have the willingness to do things and make it happen for Gibson City. Back on the front page from the Ford County Circuit Court, we have a much less uplifting story. 25-year-old gets 32 years in prison for child porn. Man sentenced after pleading guilty to 4 Class 1 felony counts. Paxton. A former Gibson City man was sentenced to 32 years in state prison after pleading guilty in Ford County Circuit Court on Tuesday, May 13th, to 4 counts of possession of child pornography. Ryan J. Nelson, 25, who was on probation in DeWitt County for aggravated criminal sexual abuse, reported to the Ford County Probation Department on January 31, 2025, and was discovered to have a cell phone in his possession that had not been registered as required by the Sex Offender Registration Act, according to Ford County State's Attorney Andrew Killian. Upon examining the phone, probation officers found what they believed to be child pornography on it, and they subsequently reported it to law enforcement, who arrested Nelson that same day. A search of Nelson's home in Gibson City, pursuant to a search warrant obtained from Judge Matt Fitton, uncovered additional electronic devices that contained child pornography, said Killian, who ultimately charged Nelson with 10 counts, including 4 Class 1 felonies and 6 Class 2 felonies. Mr. Nelson was, with every video he downloaded, victimizing unknown children and driving the demand for this type of material to be created, Killian said in a news release. In entering his plea of guilty to the 4 Class 1 felony charges, Nelson was sentenced 4 consecutive 8-year terms in the Illinois Department of Corrections, and he will receive credit against his sentence for the 103 days he has already served in the Ford County Jail. The other 6 charges were dismissed. Nelson was represented by public defender Harvey Welch of Urbana. This case was a joint effort between Ford County Court Services, the Paxton and Gibson City Police Departments, and the Ford County Sheriff's Department, who spearheaded the investigation, Killian said. Turning to the inside of the Ford County Chronicle, we have from the Paxton Park District, Paxton's pool opens after pump repaired. Patience pays off, Park District's director said. Paxton. The Paxton swimming pool was expected to open for the season on Tuesday, June 3rd. The Paxton Park District recently announced that Foster's Mechanics got the pool's pump up and running. Previously, WCIA reported the pool's opening would be delayed because its main pump was malfunctioning and beyond repair. Now, the Park District's director, Jordan Chapman, said the pool is ready for everyone to come out and have fun. I think this is the ultimate patience pays off, because I was pretty much like, it'll be fine, it'll be fine, it'll be fine, because there's nothing I can personally do to make it go any quicker, Chapman said. So everything truly just aligned the way it needed to. Chapman said the pool facility's locker rooms will also be updated with new shower heads and toilets. Park District also plans to install a water slide, and Wednesday night will have a night swim event. Before opening, the Park District said a state inspector would need to review and approve new drawings and specifications before the district orders and installed a new pump. Earlier in May, the Paxton Park Board approved a proposal to spend up to $25,000 in capital funds for the repair. Now that the pump is up and running, the Park District said it is looking forward to seeing everyone at the pool soon. To all our Paxton friends, thank you for being so patient while we work through a few hiccups, the Paxton Park District said in a Facebook post on May 27th. We are excited to say we're turning the water on and starting to fill the pool today. Now, a story listed just under Paxton area. One dead in UTV crash. Paxton squad car involved in crash too while headed to accident scene. A woman died and another person was hurt in a crash involving a utility terrain vehicle, UTV, on private property east of Paxton on Monday, June 2nd. Illinois State Police responded around 6:05 p.m. to the crash near Illinois 9 and Ford County Road 2100 East, a Troop 5 news release said. Two people were transported to a hospital with injuries. Champaign County Coroner Lori Brower said Catherine M. Brzozowski, 41, was pronounced dead at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana at 6:34 p.m. An autopsy has been scheduled. Meanwhile, a separate crash on Illinois 9 involving a Paxton police officer's squad car occurred as the officer was en route to the UTV crash. Ford County Sheriff's Office said no injuries reported after a 39-year-old woman struck the passenger side of the officer's eastbound vehicle as the woman was turning from Fall Street into Pell Street. Now we have something from the Sibley Village Board. Sibley trustees get new application for building permit. It'll be sent to village attorneys before the ZBA meets. Sibley. Sibley resident Charles Milligan was present at Monday night's village board meeting to turn in additional paperwork for a building permit. Milligan's initial application was rejected by the village attorney as incomplete. Village president Jim Kearney told Milligan that he will immediately submit the new application to the attorney via email. Kearney cautioned that the village's zoning board, consisting of all village trustees, is not meeting again until a special meeting set for Tuesday, June 24th. The meeting's purpose is to develop a building permit process that incorporates old and new ordinances with the attorney's guidance. Also Monday, Never Rohrer, president of the Sibley Building and Historical Association, updated the board on progress and needs as the association works to convert the local historical land office building into a village museum. Rohrer first thanked the trustees for approving the new windows for the building. She said the old windows will be scrapped as they were determined to be in too rough of a shape to be reused as display frames. The group is requesting permission to take out a non-working kitchen on the second floor to make room for more displays. The board agreed with that plan. The group continues to develop accessibility improvements such as a ramp, improved railings, handholds, and sliding doors. The association's hope is to have part of the museum ready for the town's annual 4th of July celebration. Now, leading up to the obituaries this week, we have a couple of community events. On Friday, June 6th and Saturday, June 7th, Paxton's townwide garage sales. Paxton Townwide Garage Sales are set for Friday, June 6th and Saturday, June 7th, featuring numerous garage sales around town. A map of the sales will be available early Friday, June 6th at the Casey's and Phillips 66 gas stations in Paxton. General advertising will be posted in multiple locations in central Illinois. On Friday, June 6th, the First Friday's Concert Series. Paxton Main Street's monthly concert series, held on the first Friday of each month over the summer, returns to Veterans Square at 237 South Market Street in downtown Paxton on the evening of Friday, June 6th. The outdoor concert is free to attend. Jake and Michaela will perform country, rockabilly, and bluegrass music from 7 to 9 p.m. Attendees are advised to bring a lawn chair. Frederick Community Bank of Paxton is sponsoring the concert. During the evening, Paxton Main Street will be selling pork burgers, hot dogs, chips, candy, and drinks starting at 6 p.m. And on Saturday, June 7th, the Logan Kirby Concert in Melvin. The Melvin Community Hall is hosting concerts at 7 p.m. on the first Saturday of each month with food available starting at 5:30 p.m. and with the lineup including Logan Kirby on June 7th. For more information, people can contact Norman Schall at 217-388-2853. The annual Roberts Fun Day celebration is set for Saturday, June 7th at the Roberts Gym, 118 West Weldon Street in Roberts. Activities include a breakfast with biscuits and gravy from 8:30 to 11, a pecha truck from 9 to 11 a.m., bouncy houses from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., kids' cart rides from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., bingo from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., a bags tournament from 5 to 7 p.m., a silent auction at 3 p.m., a band performing from 7 to 10 p.m. on Main Street, when the winner of a raffle for a grill will be announced. For more information or to register as a vendor, people can contact Vanessa Tongett at 217-379-7256 or at vtongett@yahoo.com. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, June 4th. Dolores A. Carman, Buckley. Dolores A. Carman, 88, of Buckley, died at 1:20 p.m. Tuesday, May 20th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Deborah L. Ferryman, Melvin. Deborah L. Ferryman, 65, of Melvin, formerly of Mount Olive, died at 8:32 a.m. Sunday, June 1st at her home. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made to the American Cancer Society. Lewis W. Kieran, Loda. Lewis Wayne Kieran, 68, of Loda, died at 10 a.m. Monday, May 19th at his daughter's home in Mahomet. A funeral mass was held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, May 28th at the Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church in Mahomet. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that masses be said for him and or donations be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Teresa Jean Reed, Fairbury. Teresa Jean Reed, 59, of Fairbury, twin sister of a Kempton resident, died at 7:56 a.m. Wednesday, May 21st, at her residence. Funeral services were held Wednesday, May 28th, at Duffy Pills Memorial Home in Fairbury, with the Reverend Brian King officiating. Burial was in Avoca Township Cemetery in Fairbury. Memorials may be made to the Illinois Cancer Care Foundation or St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Dixie Lee Sanderson, Humboldt. Dixie Lee Sanderson, 78, of rural Humboldt, died Tuesday, May 27th at the Willow Breeze Hospice House in Mattoon. Funeral services were held Wednesday, June 4th, at the Anderson Funeral Home in DeKalb, with the Reverend Megan Vaughn officiating. A committal service followed in Woodlawn Cemetery in Creston. Memorials in her honor may be made to the Lakeland College Athletic Foundation in Mattoon. Ronald D. Yergler, Cisna Park. Ronald Dale Yergler, 75, of Cisna Park, died Tuesday, May 27th at Accolade Healthcare in Paxton on Pells. Funeral services were held Saturday, May 31st at the Christian Bible Church in south of Cisna Park, with the Reverend Steve Hall officiating. A private burial will be at a later date. Memorials may be made to the Christian Bible Church's Mission Fund. And we'll conclude our reading on a positive note. Story about Christian music. Bright Star, KJ52, Unite to Release, Fight. Paxton's Adam Wood was song's co-producer. Paxton. Christian rock band Bright Star is releasing a new single, Fight, on Friday, June 6th, featuring a collaboration between Bright Star and legendary Christian hip-hop artist KJ52. Fight was co-written by Bright Star's Adam Wood, a lead pastor for the Paxton Church of the Nazarene, and Jonas Sorrentino, KJ52, who has won multiple Dove Awards over a career that spans three decades. In his prime, he was always known as the Christian Eminem, Wood said of Sorrentino. The song is mostly a rock song, but he adds a little hip-hop elements to the verses. The song was produced by Wood and Dan Schmaltz and mastered by the Grammy-winning Brad Blackwood at Euphonic Masters, whose notable clients include Evervescence, Third Day, Skillet, and Zach Williams. Fight features Garth Justice on drums. Justice is a veteran musician whose credits include working with Reba McEntire, Michael English, and Rita Springer, among others. The song is about rising above division that is being created in the world and fighting for unity and truth, echoing Ephesians 6:12 as a spiritual battle cry for a fractured generation, Wood said. The release of Fight follows Bright Star's 2025 debut single, Fading Echoes. We are promoting the song Fight to a national Christian rock radio station, Wood said. We released two other singles this year as well. Bright Star, a faith-fueled modern rock duo, is co-fronted by vocalist and songwriter Wood, an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene, and creative co-lead Jesse Eniaku, a worship leader and advocate. Both are parents to children on the autism spectrum and are passionate about mental health, healing, and inclusion for those who are neurodivergent. Wood also founded Autism and Faith Incorporated, a nonprofit equipping churches to become more welcoming to individuals with autism. Our songs aren't written for perfect people, Wood said. They're written for the ones barely holding on, for anyone who has wrestled with mental health, identity, grief, or just the weight of the world. We want people to know that they are not alone, and that faith doesn't mean silence in the face of pain. And we have enough time to get in a milestone story. The Pearls, and I think that's right, it's AUPPERLES, to celebrate their 70th anniversary. Piper City. 70 years ago, on June 12, 1955, Elmer Alperl and Beata Schulter were united in holy matrimony at St. John's Lutheran Church in Flanagan by the Reverend Merritt Bonhoff. The couple started their married life in Fairbury, then later moved to Piper City. Mr. and Mrs. O'Pearl have five children, Judy Altman, Patricia Larson, Steve, Nancy, and Rita, 12 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, and 2 great-great-grandchildren. The O'Pearls were active members of the Piper City United Methodist Church and subsequently the Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. Mr. O'Pearl is a retired farmer, while Mrs. O'Pearl is a retired homemaker and adult daycare worker. And that's all the time we have for today's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.